Pop music is meant to be entertaining and fun, and some people make an awful lot of money from it. But the Ugandan government has other ideas. The Culture Ministry has declared that pop music should contribute to the economic progress of the country and shouldn't be allowed to create divisions. The warning was issued because of a proposed new law which would require musicians and also film and theatre writers to submit their work for government approval before it's allowed to be performed. The law's been condemned by figures from the arts around the world, including Bono, Margaret Atwood and Wole Soyinka, and also by the man who many think the law is aimed at, the popular Ugandan protest singer Bobby Wine. As The World Tonight's Paul Moss reports, protest music is increasingly seen as a threat by rulers not just in Uganda, but across the African continent.
This is a message to the government.
There haven't been that many pop stars who double as MPs. Rather fewer still have also been arrested for treason. But that's been the fate, perhaps the boast, of the Uganda musician Bobby Wine.
Question, what was the purpose of the liberation when we can't have a peaceful transition?
Bobby Wine has consistently used his songs to criticise Uganda's ruling politicians for being, he says, corrupt and autocratic. But now, Bobby and others like him look set to face a new obstacle. A new law has been proposed which would require Ugandan musicians to submit their songs for government approval before they could be performed. Film and theatre writers would also need to get their work pre-authorised. It's a blatant act of censorship, Bobby Wine says.
The government has become increasingly terrified. They want to crack down on any creative work that is not in support of the regime. All music productions and artistic productions, an artist is a mirror of society. That is what my people need.
Some have suggested that what Uganda's people need is political and economic reform. The country's president, Yoweri Museveni, has been in office for 33 years. Elections there have been widely criticised as fixed. But the fact that the president apparently wants to set boundaries on what musicians can sing suggests that he and his government may well feel threatened by people like Bobby Wine, according to the campaign organisation Index on Censorship and its chief executive, Jody Ginsburg.
They can use their art to send messages quite subversively often. So they don't necessarily have to be direct and explicit. They can say things in ways that perhaps politicians, ordinary people can't. And actually that often has a lot more impact.
Over in the west of Africa, the Nigerian singer Femi Kuti is also using his music to spread a political message. His lyrics are an explicit rejection not of one particular political party, but of an entire governing class.
Politics now, big business.
Femi Kuti is continuing a tradition begun by his even more famous father, the late Fela Kuti, whose own music took a political turn back in the 1970s. Femi Kuti told me why he's following his father's approach and has now signed a petition against Uganda's new law.
My father is a very good example of things we are addressing, because when he was talking with his music, he was a lone voice at this time, speaking against corruption and injustice. And it is very important for the Ugandan government to withdraw that law for the sake of peace, unity and progress.
But unity and progress are precisely the goals of Uganda's new law, according to Peace Mutuutso, Uganda's culture minister. She didn't want to do a recorded interview, but told me that any government would be interested in the content of songs because, she said, songs should contribute to a country's economic and social goals. And she warned that music in particular needs to be controlled because it could be a source of division. In fact, there already seems to be plenty of division in Uganda. The past few years have seen a series of protests against the authorities. And this is a phenomenon increasingly seen across sub-Saharan Africa. According to John McDermott, Africa correspondent for The Economist magazine, urbanisation and a demographic shift towards youth have led, he says, to a feverish political environment.
The average age of an African is 20. The average age of an African leader is 62. And these young people live in cities. They're harder to control, and there's not a lot of opportunity. So they are protesting, whether that is in Uganda or Kenya or Nigeria, whether it's on WhatsApp or Facebook or through the music they listen to.
Musicians who sing political songs would, of course, like to believe that their music is going to really shake things up. But can music really change things?
I don't think music can topple a regime. If one side has a guitar and the other side has a gun, there's only one side that's going to win. But what it does speak to is the increasing concern of a generation of African leaders. It speaks to a concern that they are out of touch with the people they profess to govern, and that they are not creating enough opportunities for this swelling generation.
Uganda's new law requiring government approval for music and other art forms will go before the country's cabinet next month. Bobby Wine has vowed to carry on performing his protest songs whether or not the new law is passed.
Paul Moss reporting there.